Welcome in. Welcome back to another episode of the Format Podcast Live. Got a pretty interesting show for you today. Gonna have some interesting topics. Gonna talk some Tom Brady. Gonna talk some LeBron James, of course, gift that keeps on giving. And we're also gonna talk some BJ Armstrong, who had some very interesting comments about the NBA. But before we get to that, you know what time it is.
If you're here on YouTube and you haven't already, please make sure you go ahead, click that like, that subscribe, that notification bell. Make sure you're kept up to date whenever we drop new content on the channel. If you want the audio only version of the podcast, open up your audio podcast platform, hit the search bar, type in The Format Podcast, and we should come right up. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you give us that like, that five-star review, and drop a comment. All that stuff helps us rise in the algorithm, helps us find more sports fans, helps more sports fans find us. And finally, make sure you write it down, put it in your phone, set an alarm, do whatever you got to do to remember. Saturday nights at 7 p.m., we are live here on the Format Podcast, and we'll give you the opportunity to call in, talk to us, get at me. I love it. I can't wait.
All right, so I know in the intro there I said that I'll be given the opportunity to do call-ins. Tonight is not going to be a call-in show. Don't have my man G with me, and it's going to be probably a little quicker one, so I'm going to give my thoughts on what we have. Tonight's not going to be a call-in show, but we'll get that back up and running once we kind of get the panel right. I'm going to go ahead and move to the last topic for tonight before I get out of here. Last topic for tonight. This one I thought was really interesting as well. Definitely some captivating stuff here. And so let's take it here. I keep hearing that this era is the best ever era of NBA basketball. I keep hearing the players are more skilled than any era ever before. I keep hearing the players are better. I keep hearing the league is better. I keep hearing the competition is better. And one of the arguments that is made for this is because offensive efficiency and scoring is way up, and it's higher than it's ever been before. True. And I always push back on this. And one of my biggest arguments on this is players aren't necessarily more skilled. They've traded one skill for another. And the officiating lets them consistently get away with violations that help the offensive player a lot. But again, since I never played, let's hear from someone who did. How about we hear from a three-time NBA champion with the Chicago Bulls and a former All-Star and now an agent, so he's still around the game, BJ Armstrong. Let's hear what BJ Armstrong had to say about the changes in the NBA. How about that? Let's check it out.
But you know what's really amazing when you watch the game, Mo? Okay, one, the rules have changed. Okay, so when you're making these comparisons, it's not really a comparison because the rules have changed. So the game in the 80s and the 90s is a totally different game than what you're watching now. But you know what's really significant? Is the refereeing has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I was watching this highlight of Allen Iverson. And it was amazing for me to watch it. And the reason what made me watch it more was because my youngest son now, he wants to learn how to dribble. And we were doing, you know, he's eight. So, you know, we're just doing the basic ball handling dribbling. You know, he just wants to learn how to dribble. And he was at basketball camp and he was showing me here and he wanted to practice and doing these things. But then I was watching Allen Iverson dribble and I thought, what an advantage it was to be able to like kind of carry the ball when you're dribbling.
Mm-hmm.
So I started watching Allen Iverson and then I went and watched the Dallas Mavericks and I said, wow, Kyrie, you know, he carries the ball. And then I went and watched Jamal Crawford. I was like, that's about the time it really started changing when Jamal Crawford and these guys kind of got in. And then I started watching Tim Hardaway and I was like, oh, wow, his hand, he was dribbling on top of the ball. And then I was just watching all of the players. And I thought, Mo, to myself, if you could carry the ball like the guards do today, that's a huge advantage when mm-hmm. you're playing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, Mo, the previous generation wasn't allowed to play that way because of the refereeing of the game. The biggest change has been the interpretation of the rules of the game, Mo. Like Kieran, you'll see it called every now and then. But Mo, you weren't allowed to do that in the previous generations. And how different would it be if you were able to play carrying the ball? By the rules of that era, that was a carry. Now, the referees, Mo, now suddenly now I want to start talking to the referees because I want to know how did the interpretation of just that one action that changed the game probably more than anything. And if you were allowed to do how these guys are doing, like, Bo, of course you can do things that you couldn't do because you weren't allowed to do that just by the rules itself. So, you know, I think the referees, Bo, I want to get the referees on the show because how did that happen? Like, I don't remember it being like a thing like we're just not going to carry it. But it's just, I remember one of those, that was just kind of how it evolved.
Okay, so you heard that from someone who knows much better than I ever will. And the funny thing is, there haven't actually been any rules changes which allow the carry or the double dribble, etc. Officials are just, for some reason, I'm not sure what, not calling the violations for the most part. So how can you tell me today's players are so skilled when the violations are so commonplace? I'm lost. I really am. Now, not only are we seeing the carrying and the double dribbling, aka the discontinue, now we are seeing the travel consistently, the so-called gather and zero steps, i.e. travels. Now, I get things change over time, but this is ridiculous. Also, if we watch the game, we're constantly seeing what should be illegal moving screens and nothing gets called. Why is that? Because one, if we played the whistle tight, games would take forever. And we talked earlier about all the things that they're doing because they want faster pace in all the sports, not just football, not just basketball, in all the sports, right? People's attention spans are less and less, unfortunately. And so you want to get these games in, you know, 3 hours in and out, right? We've seen it in football. We've seen it in college football, basketball, hockey, baseball, all of that. And so they're trying to speed up the game. And so more whistles means a slower game, right? Okay. Two, players would be exposed for their lack of fundamentals. And this marketing campaign that they got going on about today's players being the most skilled ever, well, that would fall apart. That would fall apart. So if you take a look at this Mind the Game podcast with J.J. Redick and LeBron James. And yes, I watch this show every week religiously. And why do I watch it? Again, because, I've said this before, it's not a bad show and I actually learn things. But also, I watch it because LeBron is always going to give me something to talk about and he's always going to prove me right with the things that he says. But anyway, this week, they discussed a type of screen called the Gortat screen. And if you go back and watch it, they'll explain how it is and what it does, among other things, right? So the Gortat screen. But go watch that particular segment of the show, and that's an easy one where you can see the moving screens. You can also see a lot of the screens that the Warriors set to get Steph Curry free. Now, is Steph Curry one of the greatest off-ball movers of all time? Absolutely. But he gets away with a whole – well, not he, but the Warriors get away with a whole lot of moving screens or dirty screens to get this guy free so that he can have open looks at his shots. Now, does he still have to make them? Yes. Does he still have to make them from often absurd distances? Yes. We know how great Steph is. But if you watch it, we see it. For instance, in the women's Final Four, that was UConn and Iowa, the Caitlin Clark game, we saw UConn get caught for an illegal screen at the end of that game, and people were up in arms when it was the correct call. Now, we can argue whether or not it was the right time of game to call it. We can argue whether or not there were a million other moving screens during the earlier portions of the game that didn't get called. But the point is, they called that whistle properly. And I think that a lot of people would not know what to do. They would lose their minds if you watched modern NBA basketball and all the carries got called and all the travels got called and all the double dribbles got called and all the moving screens got called. But what that does, again, it exposes that lack, those lacks of fundamentals. It exposes that. And then when you have all this going on, you can't now sit here and tell me that you have the most skilled players ever because they're constantly getting that whistle, right? Okay. So here's the other thing. You can't say a player of an era is better and more skilled if they're allowed to violate on a consistent basis. You just can't. You just can't. And no matter how you feel about that, that is the truth. So here's the other deal, right? We talk about this whole today's players are more skilled than ever. And BJ didn't really touch on that. He just talked about the carrying. But it all kind of ties together. So you're telling me today's players are more skilled than ever, but that's really not true. Now, are they super skilled? Some of them, yes. But it's really not true to say they're more skilled than ever because I can name two skills in the modern game which are nearly non-existent, and you're supposed to have the most skilled players ever. What are these two skills? The mid-range jump shot and the back-to-the-basket post-up. Nearly non-existent in the modern game. And that's what I mean when I say that modern players traded one skill for another, right? Because the argument is they're more skilled than ever because just about every player in the modern NBA can shoot the three. You need to be able to space the floor. And so everybody needs to be able to shoot the three. And then, of course, analytics are telling you threes are worth more than twos, blah, blah, blah. So there's that. But because the three is so important and so many people want to say that, that's the argument they make for today's players being more skilled. But the league average of three-point field goal attempts, it is higher. But by focusing on that, other skills are gone by the wayside. Like I said, back to the basket, post up, mid-range jump shot. So this is interesting, though. We put so much of a premium on threes and say the guys today are so much better shooters. Now, here's the deal. The three-point shot was actually introduced into the NBA in 1979. And in the 1980s, the league average was about 30%. Okay. Obviously, it's still a very new shot. And the fact is this, the game has always been the highest percentage shot is the shot closest to the rim. And who's normally down there is bigs, right? And bigs aren't really shooting threes. And the goal is what? To get the highest percentage shot closest to the rim. Fast break, transition, layups, dunks, etc. Okay, cool. And in the 80s, the league average from three was about 30%. In the 1990s, the league average from three bumped up to about 34%, which is not bad at all. Now, I know some of you are going to tell me, yeah, they moved in the three-point line in 1994. So 1994, 1995, and 1996, the three-point line moved in, and we saw the three-point percentages spike. Not spike to like 40%, but spike to about 36. And then the league pushed the three-point line back out in 1997. But the average for the decade was about 34%. Now, in the 2000s, the first decade of the 2000s, that three-point average got up to 36%. Again, more shooting, more shooting, more shooting. And in the 2010s, 36%. From 2020 to 2024, the first half of this decade, the three-point average, again, is 36%. So what I'm saying is this. From the 1990s, let's say 1997, when they pushed the three-point line back out, to today, the three-point percentage of the entire league has only gone up 2%. Now, for an era that's so much more offensively sophisticated and so much more skilled and everyone is such a better shooter, why is there not a bigger gap between 1997 and today? Why? Because the narrative is false. It's a lie. And that's based on shooting because since the 90s, it's only risen from 34 to 36%, and that's just not a huge jump. It's just not. So what I'd love is for someone who's a proponent of this era and you truly believe that today's players are more skilled, even though we know that they get to get away with traveling and they get to get away with double dribbling and they get to get away with carrying and they shoot way more threes, but the percentage has not drastically risen. Tell me in the comment section. Let's talk about it. Let me know. Tell me how it is that you're telling me that these players are better. Tell me. It just, they're not more skilled. Again, they're trading skills. That doesn't make them more skilled. Yes, I mentioned that, Ron. The pace of the game has changed, and it is much faster. But actually, while it is the fastest, it's not particularly that much faster than it was in the 1960s or in the 1980s. Those two are also extremely fast decades on record. You can look that stuff up. But the point is, even for all of that, those guys still had to play within the framework of the rules as basketball was written. So the pace of the game has changed. It's much, much faster, true, but they're getting away with a lot more. So are you trying to say that because the pace of the game has changed and it's faster, that it's okay to allow them not to be called for violations? I really don't follow your argument here. Doesn't make sense. But yeah, leave your comments in the comment section. I'm really curious to hear what you guys got to say about that one. And yeah, I'm going to leave it right there. This was a quick one. And yeah, I'll be back with you next week. And of course, you'll be seeing shows during the week. But I definitely wanted to get on here, give some thoughts about this stuff, and really just, you know, drop some science. And again, what I love is when, I know a lot of people disagree with me, but I love when the actual guys who are in the league, who played at a high level, who know what they're talking about, since I don't, go ahead and corroborate everything I've been saying. But yeah, leave your thoughts in the comment section. Can't wait to hear from you. Can't wait to get back to you. And I'm out. Peace.